Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hey.
I'm doing good.
Good.
Good, good.
I got some questions. I got some questions for you.
You do? Fire.
I do. Okay, so I've gotten enough people now. I've turned off my Indeed ad because I've gotten enough people. I think I got like 8 or 9 applicants, most of which seem reasonable. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to really winnow them out and dial in which one I think would be the best one. I got some young kid who, he did the disc test, and then now he's emailing me, did you get the results, and he's the guy that I said didn't have enough experience, and he came back and said, what do you mean I don't have experience? This is bullshit. I have plenty of experience. I'm really good. Watch me do it, And,
yep.
And so he was, and now he's bugging me, what's the disc test? What's the deal? So he's being more assertive than anybody else, but the disc test was okay. I've gotten a lot of people that are like, the D is high, not real high. The I is a little bit below that. And the C is almost as high as the I.
Yep.
I've gotten a lot
Don't overthink it. Let somebody, if you think they can make it, I mean, this kid's being assertive about it, calling you back. That's what you want in a salesperson. He's wired to be that way. So give him some leads and let him go. You'll know inside of 2 weeks if they can do it or not and if they're any good.
What about all this? I got some other people that sound really good, too. I mean, I've done disc tests on
start them.
4 or 5 of them.
Okay.
Start them all.
Pick your top two.
My top two.
You're not going to know until you throw some leads in front of them at the end of the day. You won't.
Okay.
So, yeah, it costs you nothing to get them on board. If they burn through some leads and don't do anything with them, FreedomSoft will save them so you can just move them to somebody else. So, yeah, get them going. Yeah, I mean, try and be intelligent about your top one or two, but at the end of the day, it's a performance-based position.
Well, yeah, but you were saying Rob takes them out to dinner and talks to them and everything else. I mean, what I think I need to do with some of these guys is just have another conversation with all of them. And
perfect.
See.
Yeah, there isn't a right or wrong process, Tom. You don't have to go to dinner. If you want to do it that way and have a second conversation and you get a good feeling about somebody, get them going.
Okay. I think I'm overthinking it yet again, but, it's a crucial step, I think, to try to find somebody who's really good.
It is. Whether that person comes on and does anything or not, you'll learn something from it. Don't waste a bunch of time on it. They'll produce or they won't. You'll know in the first 5 days, you'll definitely know in the first 10 to 14, and that's it. Let them, this kid's hungry. You get you're seeing the salesperson in them. You say, well, you don't have enough experience, and he immediately gets defensive and mad and says, BS, I can do this, right? It's a great answer.
Right.
And then he's the one bugging you. Hey, where's the disc test? How am I doing? Let me go. Get me started. That's why high D's and high I's do good in sales. Because they're
right.
Persistent, yeah.
Well, I had some other ones that were real similar. It's like a lot of them have high D high and pretty, they're not super high. They're high, but they're not like very high. And then the C is almost as high as the I or sometimes higher than the I.
Okay.
But that's maybe that's, that's a good
don't
thing.
Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it.
All right.
If you have high D and high I in there and the person tells you they can sell, there's a chance they can. Now, is there likely going to be some turnover? Probably. Not always. But it's part of it. So, yeah, if you get the feeling that somebody can handle it or if they're telling you they can, turn them loose. See what happens.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
That's it.
Okay. So that's it. So, yeah. So I sent out some postcards. I haven't heard nothing back yet. So we'll see. See what happens with that.
All right.
Okay.
Anything else, Tom?
No, I'm on. That's it for me now.
Okay.
I got a lot of confidence now. I don't know why, but I do. I'm going to make this work. This is going to work.
Action breeds confidence.
Well, the fact that I'm talking to people and I'm going to be their employer, and they're counting on me to get the buyers. Now I got to step up to the plate and get going and find these freaking buyers. But yeah, because it's like, well, now, I mean, it's like I can't be messing around and overthinking things. I
know what it's
going. These guys are.
You know what it's doing, Tom? It's putting something in place that says this has to work. And a lot of times it's stressful, but it's a benefit.
Yeah.
So it can happen in a number of different ways. It can happen in, holy crap, got to pay for the house next month, don't have a deal. That puts you in a scenario where it has to work. There are a lot of them out there. You're pushing yourself into a scenario that says just what you said. I have people who are going to be relying on me. They need leads. They need deals to close. Same thing. And it's fantastic to have that in place. It can be a little stressful, but you'll pull it off.
Yeah.
So it's creating a have to scenario. That's a good thing. It's an uncomfortable thing, but it's a good thing. Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, like this weekend I went climbing and I did this really hard, very committing climb. The protection is very sparse, so you're going to take big, long falls if you fall.
Yep.
And I was like, don't overthink it. Just work the problem. And I just move by move did it. And I was halfway up there just going, this is what I need to be doing in the real estate thing. This is my real estate thing right here. And I'm
exactly.
going to freaking send it. So that's, yeah. So it was like.
Work the problem. Cool. Yep.
Yep.
Love
yep.
it.
All right, man. Thanks
yeah,
a lot.
There's always an analogy somewhere else. With you, it's
hanging off some cliff by my fingertips.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Right.
I mean, for me, it's cross-stitch. It's not quite as thrill-seeking, but you could poke yourself with a needle. and if you don't understand sarcasm, that was it. Who else?
Hey, Olivia here.
Hey, Olivia.
Hey. So I had a big aha that I got to get out of the insanity cycle and do something different. So I've been making calls for the last 6 months.
Yep.
Following leads that didn't work, et cetera, et cetera. So I got the big message today. So what I did, I went ahead, I've got, I'm in my personnel profile, I'm a very high C, which didn't surprise me. I took that test.
Yep.
And so I figured out I'm going to do the free one for these candidates. I put their ad for a sales associate following Hal's notes, and I got 15 applicants.
Okay.
So I've been reading those.
Is your uh-huh. aha that you're not a sales personality type? Am I following?
Oh, I've never been a sales. I reject sales, but I was willing to give it a try.
Is that your aha?
Oh no, my aha is I've never been a salesperson. Don't like it. Don't want to do it ever in my life.
Okay,
I'm a caregiver.
So I'm following. Okay.
Okay, so the aha is now that I've tried it, I
yep.
need to get out.
Turn over a salesperson.
Correct. When I made all those calls, I was so relieved that I did all the calls. I've done 500 calls. I'm good at making calls. I did it. I proved myself. It didn't work for me. Okay, so yes. So I'm even more serious about a sales of going to the next step, which I have hesitated, but I completed my task and I'm ready. I got 15 candidates from Indeed.com, posted the ad last night. I just now
yep.
shut it down.
Yep.
Okay, so my next step, I know how to do the disc test. I know who I am.
Yep.
And
yep.
I just learned that I'm supposed to pick the top two candidates. Not a problem. I have people that have done proven phone sales. I have people
yep.
that are Frontier airline hostesses. No, that's not going to work. So anyway, I have to narrow it down. And then, so what's my next step with these people is to give them get rid of the ones that are Frontier
personality
airline hostesses.
Test. Tell you what,
so I should give them the disc test?
Yeah, ideally you want somebody who has some sales background. That's not to say that you can't find somebody that hasn't done sales that's really good at it. You just never
you know.
That's the thing is there isn't – it's not black
okay.
and white. There isn't a formula that works every single time, right? So, you know, I've talked to sales managers before, and they sometimes they want somebody that's – you know, I hate to bring age into it, but let's say – has less experience in sales, whether that's because they're younger or they're newer to it. so that they can kind of, you know, train them and shape them and that kind of thing. It depends. There's really no right or wrong. You just have to see, you know, read the feedback, check a resume, tell you what they've done, send them through the disc test. You know, we want to make sure it's a personality match. And then if you, you know, like I was telling Tom, if you get a good feeling about somebody and you think they can do it, I mean, at the end of the day, this isn't rocket science. You just want the right personality. Because here's what happens. You're not a salesperson. And so when you get on the phone with somebody, you're just being you. And there were probably some yeses in there that told you no. But because you're high C and a caregiver, you thought, oh, I don't want to inconvenience this person, or this is what's best for them. And they sold you that they shouldn't sell you their house. I'm wired more like you are than a salesperson. So I'm just talking from experience here, right? What happens when, you know, you just heard Tom talking about this kid that wants Tom to hire him, and he's beating down the door saying, yes, I can do this. How'd my disc test come back? When can I start? Give me leads. Let's go. Let's go. That's how they are on a sales call. I mean, they push, and that's what you want them to do.
Right. And I am so low competitive and so non-pushy. I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
Always have been, knew I was, but I tried it.
Yep.
Just one.
Hey, now you can train it. Now you can train
it. Yeah, exactly. I am so done. I'm never going to make another call. And Gail's never, ever going to skip trace again. I'm done. I'm fed up.
Yeah, you don't need to be doing that. So, yeah,
no, it's over. It's over. I will never, ever, ever make another cold call. I've done 500.
Build the team.
So this one says, first, I have 5 years of experience, including cold calling. I said, you must be able to cold call. I put that in there.
Yep.
B2C, B2B sales. Secondly, build rapport, da, da, da. One says, I can push and close. I said, oh, those are great. That's opposite of me.
Yep.
Okay. So I will proceed with that with my 15 candidates. So what I also did, Mike, is to change to become the manager, which is what I'm supposed to do. I got three qualified VAs, and one of them uses what's that one? Lexus.
Okay.
He's my
Beautiful.
Top person.
Yep.
Okay. I didn't always follow the system, but this is my main question. I'm going to reuse all my leads that didn't work. Because I don't
Absolutely.
Have any new leads coming in, and I'm fine with that because I'm not going to go to broke. I'm going to use these leads that I have. Okay, so I have a bunch of skip trace leads that were dead ends for me. So I made a group, VA test group.
Okay.
But this is in properties, and I don't know how to move them to do a the VA test. You know,
you want them back
test.
To leads?
I don't know where to go.
You want to move them back
to
leads.
Now, what says move to inbox, archive, or trash?
No, you want to click into your property, click the little horizontal three-dot menu, and click convert.
Okay.
Convert to lead, and it'll move it backwards. Move it to the left tab in FreedomSoft.
Great. Okay.
Yep.
So convert to lead, and then I'll give them a campaign.
Yep.
Or
hey, and here's the thing. We've been talking about take the disc test yourself, and it sounds like you just
did
it. It's huge. If you haven't taken it yourself, you have to take it.
Yeah.
Either the free one or – and here's the thing about it. You have to – because we talk about it all the time. Ideally, you want somebody to talk about it who doesn't know what DINSC stand for.
Right.
So if you give it to somebody and they ever ask, what does this mean, don't tell them. Just, you know, be vague. It's a personality test. We just
mm-hmm.
use this to make sure we get the right people on board and then get them in the right seat so that everybody wins. So keep it vague because
right.
you're not going to tell them, hey, we're looking for high D's and high I's. And, they can just go out. They can just go out and Google what does high D and high I mean and just answer the questions accordingly. So now that
you know what?
I'm telling
Perfect.
You this because if you're going to go take it, we talk about it a lot. You have to not answer questions based on what you want to be. You need to answer them as truthfully as possible so that it tells you how you're wired. That's the only way you'll get any value out of it. So,
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Awesome. Okay.
Take the disc test.
Yes.
Okay, and then so I will proceed from there. I'll do what you just told me and get these people going. Sounds great. Thanks for all your help. And
yeah, and I was going to tell you, send them back to the same leads. They'll just approach them differently.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Okay, great. I've learned a lot. Thank you.
Yep. Who else?
It's Hal.
Hello.
Hal, what's happening?
Well, I hired a gal Saturday. Took
yep.
her to took her to lunch. She scored high on the test, and I'm driving, so get this over with. Anyway, she's the one I think I told you she had she was a mortgage broker back in the heyday when I was,
yep.
and
yep.
we both lost a bunch of stuff. And she's a real estate agent, but she's doing a little bit of it, and she's doing some tax lien stuff for a guy. But she really wants to, you know, she made a lot of money in the past. She lost a lot of money. She wants someone to grow with, and I told her that's what I'm looking for, somebody
cool.
that can grow or help my company grow, and
yep.
she'll make a lot of money. So we did. I had her watch the sales script video,
okay,
and last night, and then I put it on YouTube private, and let her watch it again today,
okay.
and then we did some training last night online, and I'm going to do some more tonight. And she's going to start.
Tomorrow?
And she's going to start either tomorrow or Wednesday. We'll see tonight.
Okay.
But I got plenty of leads for her, so we'll see
Beautiful.
What happens.
I'll tell you
what
can happen. Yeah. Yeah.
I know she's going to make me hustle.
Yeah, absolutely. Assuming she's good on the phone, which it sounds like she is. Are you going to have her set up conversations for you to follow up with and make the offer, or are you going to train her to
yeah,
make the offer?
To start off with, maybe for the first 3 or 4 days, I think she
yep.
can handle the whole thing, but actually
Absolutely.
I need to get my head around it a little bit too, because, you know, I looked, we did comparable sales on all those leads, so that it's in the software, and what I'm finding out, though, I mean, there is a ton of stuff that's sold this year that are, you know, that are wholesale deals. And in that first zip code we're in, so
hey,
I gotta just
that's where you want to go. That's where you want to go to your list source map, absentee owners, map them out in easymapmaker.com, and you have to give that list to your salespeople.
Okay.
I mean that's
yeah.
We talk about that list all the time on here. So Rob goes in, he picks a market. He's I like this place for whatever the P ratio. Great. We're going to launch Memphis. Next thing he does, list source, absentee owners, buy the list, map the list. Why? And you all know the answer, because now you see where the activity is, and you can tell your bird dogs where to go generate leads. That's the first thing you use it for. Second thing you use it for, get it to your salespeople so that when they're having a conversation on the phone, for now, they're going to set you, Hal, but then you can go in and say, okay, where is this thing, right? It's in this zip code. What is it? It's a 3-bed, 1-bath, 1,100 square feet. And you can go in, and when you have that data map, and you can start hovering over pins and clicking them. And here's a 3-1 and a 3-2, and you're going to see the market price. And that's what got recorded. So that's what the investor paid for it. So if 3-1s are going for 25 grand, you've got to be around 20 in your offer to make 5, right? Takes all the guesswork
yeah.
out of it. Then the disposition side of the business, you know exactly who bought in the area because you have all the transactions. So then go to that same list to sell it. That's why it's so valuable.
Yeah.
It drives the whole thing.
Yeah, I can see that. It's coming at a good time because I'm getting caught up. I got those two houses that still have a little problem with the city with one bunch of idiots. But, I get them on the market. I put the new house on the market yesterday. So
okay.
get that out of my hair. So I'm
yep.
ready to do more work on this. So that's all I got. I just wanted to let you know I got somebody.
Hey,
started.
This is a big deal. This is a big deal. When you have leads sitting there, right? Oh, again, we're talking about the fundamentals here. Either you have to get on the phone or somebody else has to. That's what it
yep.
takes.
Yeah.
And so you add leads. They've been sitting there for a little bit. You don't have time to call them. Thus, you bring somebody on. It's a big deal. You get the right personality consistently working these leads, and that's a formula for success.
Yeah, I think she'll be good. You never know. Like I was listening to you guys earlier, and you never really know, but
you don't.
She's got all the background that's better than the rest, and I'm going to hire another person too. I'm going to get at least two on.
That's all you can do. All you can do is make an intelligent decision, and then some will work and some won't. So what? That's how life works.
Yep. So, that's right.
Yep. That's all you can do.
Okay.
Beautiful. Good stuff. Drive safe wherever you're going.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep. Who else?
You want me to go?
John. Yeah. I was going to say, I heard you were on and Hussein is on. And I don't know who else. So, yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, man, I got the big one last week and Thursday. It Thursday? Yeah. And I've got another one that's supposed to close hopefully in a couple of weeks. It's here in Birmingham.
Okay.
And then I found a buyer for a co-wholesale deal. A guy out of Scottsdale had a house under contract here in Birmingham. So.
Yeah.
So there you go. And I haven't hired a salesperson yet.
Close date and split.
On which one?
What does the close date and the split look like with the Scottsdale wholesaler?
Oh, no, I got to get the buyer's entity. She's a local investor. I had to go to a monthly meet up and do deals thing that I never go to.
Okay.
And she was at it, and she made me she got back with me today. So we're going to split 10. So
okay.
It comes down to, but I don't have a closing date because I got to get the entity because it's really for an investor, a friend of hers from Miami. She's from Miami, but lives here in Birmingham now. So she's
so
helping her friends.
You're going to set up a new entity for this deal? Am I following right?
No, she is going to give me I don't know the entity, the contract yet.
Gotcha.
To put the final end buyer contract in yet. So.
And
I'm probably going to have the guy in Scottsdale just assign it to me and just then do a double close with the end buyer so I don't give away my buyer. So.
Cool.
Although he can find out eventually, but I don't know. What do you think about that?
Anybody can. Yeah.
So don't worry about it.
That's the thing is, even if you try to hide everything that's going on, it's going to record in public record. So just get paid and keep moving forward. Are there goofballs out there? Yeah, but most people are, you know, above board and there's always knuckleheads. Doesn't matter what you're doing. But yeah, I think that's a pretty clean way to do it. Just get the double close.
Double assignment? Or double close.
That's the thing is I don't know that there's a right or wrong here. Like you said, you can hide it for a while until it shows up in public records and then somebody can look them up anyway. So whatever you think.
Tell the guy he's got an escrow there in Scottsdale, and I told him that we'd want a local attorney to do the closing here. So and I said
right.
And we may probably rerun title too just to feel comfortable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, make sure it lines up.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
and,
if you're gonna have a different title company or attorney close it, they're gonna want to rerun title anyway because it's they're the ones ensuring that everything's right.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, if you're gonna switch, rerun it anyway.
Then I had another property, and I finally went and looked at it the other day. It's really in a bad part of town.
Yep.
So I pull up. The first thing I see is a notice. Nailed to beside the door that's condemned by the city.
Does the seller know?
Well, he knows now.
I was just going to say.
He didn't know it. He had it under contract for $3,000 was trying to get me to help him find a buyer.
Yeah.
And it's just, Well, when I first went by, there was a guy sitting out on the front porch of the table eating lunch.
Oh, I was going to ask if this is the same one with the squatters.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, I told him, I said, you want my opinion? He said, what's that? I said, just use this to get out of your contract, move on. He said, no, I'm going to get it. I'm going to use it to get it cheaper, and I'll find an end buyer that wants to live in it and fix it up. I said, well, good luck on that in that neighborhood.
Yep.
See ya. But anyway. So that's it. And I got 60 new leads in New Orleans over the weekend. And
nice.
And got,
and I know you've got a hot zip code down there, so start working.
Oh, there's two or three of them.
ASAP, yeah.
So,
I mean, based on the feedback you told me, those things
right.
will move like this last one did.
Well, see, that's the whole thing that I got to figure out how to make the offers without somebody local telling me. You know,
somebody
I got to get out
on.
What? Well, like, what's this worth, or what should I offer on this? I haven't figured out how the buyers are really buying yet. So, you know, and I got to get my own buyers too. So.
Absentee data from list source.
Well, it doesn't. It just gives me an amount. There's no beds and baths recorded at the courthouse. There's no. It's not even on the record.
I was talking to someone that I think it was Olivia ran into that too. She can get sale date, sale price. Still, that helps, right? So you can see sort of what the ballpark is in the area. But yeah, they're list beds and baths either. So it's hard. You know, you can't beat data. This is what investors in the area are paying. I mean, the other option, John, and you, I mean, you know, this is tie it up where you think it would be. Get buyers, you know, get a couple buyers through it. They'll tell you, and if you have to adjust, then adjust. But
yeah, I mean, well, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take trial and error, definitely. The way it runs down there is crazy. You know.
Go to the data, and then when you're chatting with buyers, you got to be asking them. Tell me how you run your numbers down here. How do you do it?
Yeah.
Because once you find out, you know, it's no different than that fund, right? When you told me how that thing works. Here's what they do. That's a unique formula. You know, I'd never heard of folk or an investor buyer running their numbers like that. So at some point you'll just, right, here's how investors down here do it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I made another, I guess, a counter off on a property and I got rejected. We're just going to fix it up and retail it now. So, you know, you waste all your time. But good luck, what I told her.
Hey, follow up with that one.
She lives in Virginia, but her brother lives here. Well, yeah, I did tell her that. I didn't say good luck. I wasn't sarcastic. So.
Right.
Only in my mind. But yeah, my goal is to hire a salesperson this week, so I'm working on that. I need to. Definitely.
Right. Let's make it happen.
All right, man.
Make it happen. That's the key piece. It'll force you to keep that lead engine moving, which is key, right? Just like Tom said, it's a beautiful place to be. I have I've got some people relying on me now. Time to ramp it up. That's a good spot. It's an uncomfortable spot, like I told them, but it's a good spot. Force the issue.
Yeah, I have to crank it up here in Birmingham again too, so definitely.
Yep. People are more likely to move to avoid pain than to go eat chocolate or, you know, move towards pleasure. It's just they've done study after study after study after study. So what you're doing here as an entrepreneur, right, what Tom's going to do, he's going to hire a salesperson, and then he's going to think, oh, crap, this person needs leads. This person needs me to be effective on the buyer's side. And if he doesn't perform his part, that's painful. The thought of it is painful. So what'll happen? It'll create motion. John, it'll do the same thing. You got, right? You had to force yourself to get uncomfortable and launch the second market. And then once you went through it, not only did you that the fear wasn't a big deal, right? But you also got paid in 45 days. And so this will be no different, where the thought of, hey, you're comfortable now. When you bring a salesperson on that's committed, that's going to work 6 to 8 hours a day, call on the phone, it's going to create a need for you to, you know, to pull in leads and in buyers to get those contracts moved. And so that's a really good thing. It's going to be a little uncomfortable at first, the thought of it is, but as soon as it starts clicking, you're going to quickly realize that, you know, that's where the business should have gone a while ago. And it's, you know, nobody's looking.
Yeah, what?
We're never going to look back and, right, throw stones and say shoulda, woulda, coulda, and this, that, and the other. But it is to intentionally create that is a really high-end entrepreneurial characteristic, because you think, wow, I'm comfortable. This is what the business needs. If the discomfort here, that'll force the issue. Let's do it. Let's go create a problem. That's what entrepreneurs do. They create problems that need solutions, right? So you have to see yourself.
I think
way.
I can do that.
Well, yeah, it's why the, you know, most of the world isn't necessarily entrepreneurial, or a lot of people want to be, but they struggle with it, and it's because we tend to avoid problem, we move away from it, that kind of thing. But that's what entrepreneurs do. They create
the path of least resistance. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not. It's not a knock on you or Tom, we're just having the conversation. Just about everybody is wired like this. But what happens is you change your mindset a little bit and you say, okay, I got to go create a problem. I'm going to hire a salesperson. That's going to create a problem of, A, they need a bunch of leads to call, and B, we got to get these property moved, these properties sold, or else my salesperson's going to leave. And so when you do that, it'll force activity. And it'll force activity in the right direction.
Well, just like
this week, everybody heard you say it, salesperson this week. So let's make it happen.
Just like closing the deal to put food on the table and all that stuff. Yeah, I had my girl got started back again today, and she Skyped me and says, "Well, I'm going to skip trace some more leads, and then I'll start calling tomorrow." I said, "No, you're going to call today."
Yep.
You know, let the other guys get traced the leads that we've got. So,
yeah, you need somebody that gets up every day and just says, "Show me the leads and where's my phone." That'll be the corner that your business needs to turn.
Yeah, and then I'll be forced to fix the phone system.
What's interesting about your gal is she's pretty. It sounds like she's decent on the phone, but her brain goes to, "I'm going to skip trace first, call leads second," and you had to correct it.
Yeah.
So let's get somebody in place that's wired to wake up and say, "I'm calling first above all else."
Right. Well,
that's the person you need.
It is.
Yep.
I got you.
That'll be the game changer. No doubt.
Time to change it.
Telling you.
Because I need 3 or 4 a month, easy, at least.
Yeah. That. I mean, you're in two great markets. To find 2 a month. No-brainer. Just put the system in place that'll force it.
All right.
Force the issue. You know, you close a couple deals as an investor. We all get comfortable. Easy to take your foot off the gas. When you have a salesperson in place and all they can think about is, here's what I'm trying to make. I've got to make it, you know, week after week, month after month. The foot doesn't come off the gas.
Yeah.
That's the key. So you just have to put a system in place.
Well, that's true.
That's it.
But I have changed my mindset about that. So since, you know, this one closed, it's pretty decent, but I haven't let up. So I'm pushing forward, man.
Yep. It'll be even better when you get somebody in place.
That's right. I won't have to worry about it.
Just
find the leads and the buyers.
Yeah, keep generating leads, keep finding buyers, and then, you know, and then transition somebody into the disposition side, and then transition somebody into lead manager, and then slowly, you know, one piece at a time, get yourself out of the way.
Yeah.
Because you've been the problem, right?
Then go to Barbados.
On your shoulders. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I don't know. I've been to Barbados. I don't want to go back there. I've been to Barbados.
Somewhere else.
Somewhere else. That's right.
Good stuff.
All right, man.
Good stuff. Who else?
Got a mic, Hussein.
Hey, Hussein.
How are you?
How was the week? How was the weekend? Good. What did we get done?
Good. Weekend was fine. Good. I did rehab evaluation on the property.
Yeah.
I didn't see
it come over. Did you? You didn't email it in, did you?
No. You want me to email the.
Yeah.
How
did the numbers turn out?
It came out like it's $32,000 without the seller commission.
$32,000 without the seller commission. What do you mean? Because you're splitting this?
No, it's like it's coming. We're putting the cash.
Okay.
It's like four members. So altogether, it's coming up $32,000 for everybody.
So 32 split up four ways?
Right.
And are you assuming you're going to have to pay an agent to sell it, or are you going to try and do for sale by owner?
Yeah, I'm going to try sell by owner. I have some postcards. I'm getting it printed out.
Are you assuming that do you have it built in there that you'll pay a buyer's agent 2.8%? Or are you running it with no real estate agent involved?
For now, we're trying without real estate agent. And
yeah, so your buyer's likely. So here's the bottom line: is this deal is tight, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you've got a tiny little cosmetic flip, you're all in for a little bit, and you can turn 25 to 30 with paying an agent. I think those numbers are okay. You're on a bigger project, borrowing more money, not considering any agent, because you get 2.8% to an agent on the back end of this thing, and your $32,000 just turned into five. Or probably half of that, and then you're splitting it four ways. And I just, I don't like those numbers. That's where I sit on it. But if you want to, I'm not looking at your deal evaluation sheet. If you want to send that over, I'm happy to look at it. But, yeah, this thing seems tight.
Yeah.
What did you think about it after you ran it?
Yeah, actually, we're seeing it's tight. But the problem is I'm in the contract.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether I can come out of the contract.
So it's moving forward anyway, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
But
here's the thing.
You were saying that we cannot, the other agent, like a seller might sue us for not going through the deal.
For backing out?
Right.
What does the deal look like if you marked it up, say, $5,000 and wholesaled it? I'm just saying, what are your options here? Do you have an inspection period left, or are you outside of inspection period on the contract?
No, I'm outside of the inspection period.
Okay. What do you think the fix-up budget is? Did you say $80,000? What's that?
No, fix-up budget is $12,000.
$12,000 is all?
Yeah, $12,000. Yeah.
Okay. Why was I thinking 80?
If we are doing the complete rehab, we are adding a bathroom, updating the kitchen, and
so if you can,
a bedroom.
Here's the thing. I mean, if it's only a $12,000 rehab, you'll be done in that in, what, 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah.
So this thing's back
maximum,
on the market.
Maximum 4 weeks.
Okay. Send
that.
Over your deal analysis. I got to
– Sure.
I just have to get all the data in front of me because I was thinking things were other way. 30 is still tight on a bigger project, but send it over and let me see what you came up with.
Okay.
And then, yep, where are you at with steps?
I still need to do the step two. But I'll try to finish it tonight and then come back to you.
That abbreviated step two? Okay. Yeah, well, I want to get you into step three as soon as possible. So I'll get some leads on the table. All right?
Yes, definitely.
Good stuff. Who else is on?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Mike.
Hi. Is this Tommy?
Tommy. Yeah, it is. How are you?
Good, you?
Good, good.
We
I'm going to be on
We must be similar.
Well.
What's that?
I'm a little overwhelmed. It's starting to hit, but that's okay.
That's perfect, because that's better than comfortable, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, it's definitely pushing me out of my box, for sure.
Good.
So,
good.
I really have several questions, so I'm going to try to make this fast.
Yep.
Where do I start? So I asked you today about the dead leaves, and I've got to go through that. That was one of my big concerns. And I guess my next one is, and this is really not a pinpoint question, but what is an average, I guess, that we should be spending? And I know when you sign up, you guys tell us the 500, but I mean, realistically, what is a range before, you know, really things start clicking? And I ask this because we've spent
a range of what?
Of what you should spend on marketing, I guess. And I
guess marketing budget?
VA and your skip tracers and all that.
Yep.
Good question.
I mean, if you were going to generate, let's just, you know, we can kind of work backwards. How many leads are those? Do you have a salesperson? How many leads do your team work, whether that's you or a salesperson that way, right? $3.
Right.
$3 about for the lead to the bird dog. And then you figure, you know, take whatever your VA is hourly and then figure out how many they're doing an hour and divide that up and add it to the lead. So now you have $3 for the lead. And then you have, you know, a couple bucks or, you know, maybe not even a dollar for the skip trace. And then you put a price per lead on there, right? If you have, you know, like Rob pays for Intellius, you know, just depending on what are the expenses that go in. And then figure out how many leads. I mean, if you have a full-time salesperson, like Rob's marketing budget is pretty good size, but they have three setters and then a closer on the sales side. So they're, I mean, three full-time people calling leads, right? They're going to chew through quite a few every day and work their way through them. So, yeah, it really just depends. But, you know, start with what you can and then look to ramp that up. But, you know, this is the lifeline.
Right.
Business. So plan to have a marketing budget. But yeah, to have it 500, 1,000, 1,500, 2 grand a month. I mean, the big direct mail sellers, I know this couple in Denver that's, their primary source of marketing is direct mail, 10 to 20,000 a month. And we'll go into a small, you know, we'll go into these other markets that you all have picked, generate more leads, the ability to close more deals. And you know, you can do it for less than a tenth of that. So,
okay. Well, I asked this because, I mean, we kind of, you know, we went into this headstrong because we were not out of it being our job, and that's the true case. And just so happens that it happened to be our worst month with our tenants too. So it's all kind of coming together and I mean, the press is on, that's for sure. But, with that all being said, like I told you today, we have a contract that's sent off today, and then I have one in the works as of today also, so another one that's a potential. But I think for me, like, I had to call my bird dogs and say, hold off, because it just so happened that I found four who were motivated all of a sudden, and then once they got going and realized that I was going to pay them, they just were sending me sometimes 100 leads a day, and I'm like, okay, you guys, you got to back off, because I can't be paying out this much every day. So, I mean, that to me was a little scary, and I guess that's where I kind of panicked and I'm like, I don't know. I need something to come through. But that was a generalized question on that for.
Yeah. That's a great thing to have to do. And it's normal, right? I mean, you come out of the gate, like in your scenario, and we've seen both sides, right? Some people struggle. This is the people side of the business.
Right.
It'll take them 2 weeks and they don't have a motivated bird dog yet. You came out of the gate with four, but yeah, you have to tell them, listen, sit tight. I anticipate keeping you busy, but here's where I'm at. I appreciate what you've done. You know, keep your phone on standby because let me get some other things in place and I'm going to shoot you a text that says, you know, rock and roll again.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But yeah, that's one of the pieces you just have to manage like you did. So that's perfect. Yep.
And then on the sales side, I have one guy who, I mean, he just read the script and said, okay, turn me loose. And we've turned him loose. And he's, you know, he's the one that's generated these two leads for us so far. So that was good. And then the other one,
let me ask for some other people. How many days was this person on the phone before they turned over a contract?
He started, I think, probably Wednesday or Thursday last week. And then the first one we knew last Thursday, but I didn't talk about it just because it wasn't a done deal. And then he, today when I called him to get some more information to send the contract off, he told me he had another hot lead. So, I mean.
So, in first one inside of 48 hours.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that right. That's what we see happen time and time again. Take good leads, which you all know how to generate, and give them to mm-hmm. somebody who is wired to do sales. Put those two things together and just sit back.
That's my question.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, my question is, does that salesperson say I have a motivated seller and then send them back to you, and then you figure out how much the offer should be?
I'll be real honest with you. Initially, my husband told him, you know, I want you guys to be appointment setters, but my husband's busy. You guys probably get to hear him talk because he's just never home. And so he told him when he seen how motivated Josiah was, he said, you just go through the sale with him, you know, go all the way through. And he just did it on his own. I mean, he gave we gave him everything he needed, and Kyle went through the deal analyzer with him and some different stuff and just told him to run with it and let's see. I think Kyle was more willing to take a chance to see, you know, if he was going to get it quicker, because by the time Kyle got on the phone with his lead, it was probably going to be 3 or 4 days. So he just trusted him with it at this point. I mean, it was a risk on both sides, but yet, you know, it was better than letting it set for 4 days.
Here's what's cool about this. It seems like a risk, but this is how salespeople are wired. Give me the leads, give me a phone, give me a quick script, show me what to do, and that they just say, I'll go do it. If you get somebody that's like on the other end of the spectrum with personality and CNS, they're going to start asking questions like, what if the seller says this? What if this happens? How do I handle this? What do I do about this? What if they say they want to sell it? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And they're trying to dot, they're trying to think of every possible scenario, and they want an answer for every scenario. That's really handy in a different seat on your team. This is why you go after a salesperson, because they'll typically ask fewer questions, and they'll just say, yes, I can do this. Where are the leads? Give me a basic script. You guys went to some basic training on making offers, and then that was it. That's what salespeople do.
Absolutely. With that being said, I'll tell you my other sales guy. I told Mike today, or Mike, I told you that we're probably going to cut him loose because he did test high I's. But he has absolutely picked apart FreedomSoft and the way it's ran and how he enters. And then he's picked apart the script, and he's sent us this huge analyzed thing. And, you know, he was on the phone for one time and got a potential lead. But, I mean, I don't think there's much there. So, I mean, it could go either way. And we didn't turn him loose just because Kyle could read him and know that he wasn't going to be that type that could go all the way through the end with it.
Yeah. He was a high C complainer, you said in that email.
I had other safe words I wanted to say, but I didn't.
I love it. Yeah, here's the thing, you guys. This is for everybody. As a team starts to come on, you're gonna have to monitor the personality types. What are they doing? Are you losing this person? Are they a pain in the butt every time you talk to them? I mean, the thought of like letting somebody go that you just brought on, that's painful. Nobody wants to do it. If you don't, and you're all going to bump into this at some point or another as your team starts to grow, you're just going to think, this was a bad decision. But then you're going to say, no, I can't just let them go, turn them loose. And this is human nature. And then they just kind of fester. And then their attitude starts to leak in, and you don't want to talk to them, and you start avoiding them, and things start coming apart. So you're just going to have to monitor the environment, personalities, are they driving you nuts, and just make some decisions about that, right? Don't lose sleep over a decision that your gut's telling you need to make. So I basically went back to Tommy, right? I'll say it again here, kind of typed it out. If you've had any kind of thought that this person is a benefit, that is your answer.
Absolutely. I agree.
I know it's abrupt, and I know it's to the point, but you'll just learn to hate them and resent them, and you won't want to talk to them, and that's not productive, and that'll leak over into the other things that you're doing, and it just spreads. And it doesn't get better until you let them go. There's no other way around it. It's just a reality.
Well, that's really the answer then. I mean, because I already avoid his phone calls. So.
That's the answer. That's the answer. You want somebody on the team that
right.
there's energy, synergy, you connect with. Oh, great, salesperson's calling. You know, what do they have? I bet they have another deal tied up. You have things in common, just outside of business, whatever. Get people, right? Work with people that you enjoy.
Okay.
But otherwise, you're just going to have a job, and you're going to learn to hate real estate.
Oh, well, I to be honest with you, I hit that point today with him. And so, and Kyle, when he was home on his break today, he talked to him for a short minute because he could tell I was frustrated on the phone with him. And Kyle just point blank and said, I'm tired of listening to you bitch at me. And pardon my mouth, but that was his exact words, because that's really all we felt like he's done. And so
yeah.
Kyle's even clarified, he texted me after and he said he's got to go. He just has to. So
yeah, it's a bad fit. Yep.
Yeah.
Solve it.
My last few questions are more about uh-huh. FreedomSoft, and I really don't even know where to go with the questions. I think that I went into this so headstrong and so quick that I need to go back and refresh myself. But when I'm in these campaigns and I'm
yep.
transferring, so say I have my lead campaign from my bird dogs and I'm transferring it over to my sales guy, I noticed that they don't stay within their, I don't even know how to talk about this, like they file according to date. So if I'm sending some that they've already been working and then I'm sending from another bird dog in, they're going to file in the date. And so it kind of confused one of them today, and it probably doesn't matter because he's going. But I still think for my benefit, I want to understand if there's a better way or if I just need to go back through and just watch the whole process over FreedomSoft again, just to better familiarize myself. Sorry, I got tongue-tied.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, it's going to – right, it just – FreedomSoft organizes data. That's what it does. So the default's going to be date. Really not much you can do about that. What you want your sales team to know is they're going to be managing, they're going to be working leads based off status. That's all they need to know.
Okay.
You know, everything, when a lead comes in, the status is new. And then based on Rob's system, the VA is looking for new statuses. When they see a status as new, that means they haven't skip traced it yet. So then they go through, skip trace it, save the data in there. Then they change the status to skip trace also. And I would have to look in your account, Tommy, and see if you have the vacant house workflow. And if not, it's pretty simple.
I actually just think I see the seller lead workflow. Is there a place I go to get that?
I can have the tech guys add it, or we can just modify that one. It's pretty easy because they're editable. So,
okay,
you know, like I said in the email today, if we have to do a little screen share, that's fine. But you want a status in there for your vacants that says skip trace, call seller. And then as your sales team – yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. I need that. So if we can do that tomorrow, because I don't want to take a ton of time with FreedomSoft, but I get it.
Yep. Yeah, you can just edit that workflow. And then you can add a new status and a new trigger, and then you can drag it anywhere in the sequence that you want it. So,
okay.
So your VA just when you train the VA, hey, you just log in and look for the word new in this campaign or these two campaigns or whatever it is, your bird dog campaigns. If it says new, it needs to be skip traced. Run the skip trace, change the status. That's the last thing they do. Save the lead. Now your sales team goes in. And they say, you know, day one, where do I start? Log into this campaign. And then the pie chart at the top of each campaign is going to tell you. So let's say you had 20 leads come in. Your VA skip traced all 20. And then your salesperson logged in for day one. All 20 leads are going to say skip trace, call seller. So they can click that color in the pie chart. It'll pull up all 20 in a list. And just start working them. Now, as they work them, they're going to change the status. They just managed the status. Either they talked to the seller or they didn't. They made an offer or they haven't yet. They're in follow-up mode, whatever the case. And then as they start to change statuses, that pie chart will update. So when they log in, they know exactly which group to go to because they just managed the status.
Yes, it does. I have one more quick question. That's it.
Uh-huh.
On the colors in each lead, is there a place that tells me what each color is specified as?
No, it's wide open so that you can give each color a meaning for your team.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it. That's all I have. Right.
Whatever you say, this color equals this deal, So it's just another way to organize leads.
Okay.
That's all it is. Got it. So, yep.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Nice. So how many offers, real quick, Tommy, how many offers have been made and then how many are queued up? Is it three total?
Yeah, two offers have been officially made. I have one was verbal and I sent the contract out today. And then we have another one that at 5 o'clock tonight, actually my time, Central Standard Time, he was going to call her and get some more information to pin the offer with her. And then I have another potential, but I've got to reevaluate it. So that's really it.
Nice. Not really it. I mean, you had a salesperson on the phone for less than a week. That's awesome.
Absolutely. And I just want to say this real quick to Olivia. I don't know if she's still on, but when she talked about not being that salesperson, I just want to tell her real quick, I knew up front that I know she wanted to test it for her own skills and her own knowledge, but I just knew from the beginning that I didn't want to do it. And I knew that wasn't my strong point because I've tried it, I've done it. And so just to kind of encourage her to keep moving forward, I can relate to
love
her.
It.
So,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all.
I think, I'm glad you said that because, you know, that's part of office hours here is, you know, to talk, you know, student to student and help each other out, right? Somebody else is going through it. Somebody else has the same fear. Somebody else is working on the same wind. A lot of people are not wired for sales. So there are a couple on here who probably are. Most of us aren't. And it's a key piece. And now Olivia has a great skill set to train that person that is wired that way to really step on the gas. So, yep.
Absolutely.
And then,
thank you.
Yeah, Tom. Yeah, you're welcome. Tom, did you chime in? Is that you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm missing something. So when you give the salesperson a deal analyzer, is that the deal analyzer in FreedomSoft? I mean, how do they know the comps and all that stuff to give them an offer? They need to know the comps of the
either. Couple things. Either you can train them how to do it, but if you're in an area in a neighborhood that is primarily buy and hold rental, ARV is irrelevant, right? These are the two anchors that we discuss.
Right.
If it's a fix and flip, ARV is relevant. If it's a buy and hold, monthly rents are relevant. So, Tom, even if you just take them to that spreadsheet that I put together and sent out and you run some numbers through it, right, it breaks it down. Either the seller is going to say, hey, give me 35 grand for the place and I'll take it, in which case there's a number on the table. And so you can use, I think it's the second section down. Or, you're talking to them and your salesperson is saying, you know, have you thought about what you would take as an all-cash offer? And they say no. And they say, okay, you know, if they're newer, tell you what, let me run some numbers. I've got a few things to look up. And then, you know, when can I call you back here in about an hour, 90 minutes, whatever the case, schedule up that follow-up call. And then they're going to run some numbers probably with you at first, in which case you can go to the top section that says, hey, if the seller doesn't give you anything, plug in rents, plug in some numbers, and see what they look like. So to train somebody on that won't take very long, even on comps. Are they going to have questions about it? Absolutely.
Yeah, so do I. Okay. All right. So that's that.
What are your questions?
The deal evaluator.
That spreadsheet's easier for somebody to learn than using FreedomSoft. Not that those tools are difficult, but if they have no idea what fix-up dollars are or whatever, right, you're going to have to give them some ballpark numbers. But, yeah, you can show somebody how to use that quick and then, you know, run the first five or ten with them.
Well, I mean, repair cost estimate. How are you going to figure that out? You know,
ask your seller what kind of condition is the property in, based on what they say, and the size of it. It's 15, 20, or 25,000. That's it. You don't have to be exact. You just have to be ballpark. So those are your numbers. Most of these properties that you are going to be buying in these neighborhoods, not all of them, but the majority are going to be between 900 and probably 1,300 square feet,
mm-hmm.
right? They're going to be two ones to three twos, It's very rare that you're going to have a 4-2, 4-3, 5-2. You could be, but those are most likely slightly different neighborhoods, right? So your fix-up costs, the place is a total wreck, great. You can probably do it for 25, 30 tops. And, you know, your salesperson's talking to the seller. No, this place is good. I've got a great tenant in there. You know, they just moved out. The place is vacant. I'm done with it. I'm ready to be gone. But they took great, you know, great care of the property. And then this is where you're going through the script. Oh, you know, your salesperson, great. When is the has the roof been updated or repaired in the last 15 years? You know, how's the wiring in the house? Is everything up to code? How's the HVAC system? How's the plumbing? Everything's working? Cool. Yeah, you know, it's you get the idea. It's mainly cosmetic. Good. 15 grand. That's it. You don't have to be any more accurate than that. Your buyers, when they go through it, will tell you. And if you have to adjust, you do. But based on those questions in the script, you just ballpark it.
Okay.
Here, I'm glad you brought this up, Tom, because here is where so many investors get stuck. I have to know exactly what the fix-up is. I have to know exactly what the ARV is. I'll just tell you how Rob does it and how he trains the salespeople to do it. Make some assumptions and make the offer. We're probably right. If we're not, we'll fix it later. And that is it's an easy, easy concept to talk about, and it's a really hard concept to implement. But that's how he does it.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it kind of goes
against. Especially if you're analytical. I mean, that's like, right? You'd rather have a tooth pulled without anesthetic than operate that way. I mean, it's painful because it's so against how you're wired.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's how he does it.
Okay.
Fix it later if it needs to be. But here's why he does it that way. Because after fixing up hundreds of houses on these little rentals, he's spent either 15, 20, 25, or 30 grand to fix them up. It's not like he's pulling this out of thin air. These are real numbers. They buy turnkey rentals in Memphis. If the house is in good shape, they spend 15 to 20. If the house is in bad shape, they spend 20 to 30. And that's it. They haven't had a $60,000 rehab budget yet.
Right. Well, and he hired somebody who knew real estate, so he's gonna think of asking about the HVAC and the electrical system and a bunch of other stuff.
No, that's right in the script. You tell them to ask that.
Yeah.
If first thing is they're looking for motivation. If motivated, they're starting to build a little rapport. You've got to know. You have to ask a couple questions about the property. So this is right out of the training, and then I show you how to build that into FreedomSoft using custom fields. So that when your salesperson's working a lead, don't make them remember it all. Just answer the questions on the screen. In FreedomSoft, click save. That's how you do it. That's what the training shows. But yeah, they have to be asking questions about the property. Here's the thing. People want to talk about the property they own anyway, right? This is part of the rapport building. Hey, cool. You know, the house is vacant, but what was your intent when you bought it? Were you going to flip this thing, or was it a rental, or were you going to live there? And now salesperson just gets them talking. Oh, and this was my intent, and then this went sideways, and then one thing turned into another, and then life happened, and they tell you about, you know, whatever, and I lost my job, and blah, 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 blah. And you're off and running. Now you're through this process. You're building rapport with the person because you're talking about something they own. And people, everybody wants to talk about themselves, things that they're doing and things that they own. And so it plays right into the sales process.
Okay. Well, let me ask one more question.
Yeah.
Where does the salesperson put the lead?
You're going to put the lead in their campaign. They don't need to put it anywhere. They're just going to log in, start working the leads, and save the information they find out as they go.
Okay. So you got a lead.
Uh-huh.
And they look at the lead and they I'm just trying to do it now.
Here's how we do it. We hire a bird dog named Sam. Sam says, I can start driving today. Great. Log into FreedomSoft, fire up a campaign, Pittsburgh leads Sam. Bird Dog Sam. Right? Sam, here's your unique email address. Take a picture. Send in the address. Bam. He brings in 20 leads. Perfect. You hire salesperson Sally. Right? Salesperson Sally says, you know, you finalize everything. Great. Sally's on board. She's going to make calls tomorrow. Log back into FreedomSoft. Create a campaign. Call it Sally with her last name. Now, Sally needs leads to call, so I'm going to give Sally permission to open up her campaign only. The only leads that salesperson needs to see are the ones assigned to her. So I say, okay, I've got 20 leads from Bird Dog Sam. VA is going to skip trace them tonight. You get up tomorrow morning, they're skip traced. I'm going to log into the source campaign, the Bird Dogs campaign, select all the leads, click the campaign button in the gray toolbar, and move them into Sally, the salesperson's campaign, and click apply. Shoot Sally a text or a call that says, you know, you've been invited into my FreedomSoft account. Bam, bam, your leads are ready to go. Log in, go to the leads tab, click my campaigns. There will be one campaign visible. She'll click into it. 20 leads will be right there. Start at the top. Click through. The numbers are there. Start dialing. Update the status based on what happens. Click save. That's the process.
So, yeah, so this field, I'm looking at mine. I don't have all those questions in there. I have to put all those in, like HVAC and all that other stuff. I need to put those in there.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Because I have construction, year built, and maintenance, but features, garage, but I need to put all those other ones in there too.
Take the script. So but it's in the Talking to Sellers.
Yeah.
And there's a video in there in the coaching center, and I do a training on it. And at the end, I show you how to how to do custom fields in FreedomSoft.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you've got to give that script to your salespeople. Set it up as custom fields. If they get dialed and your whole team's dialed, it's a custom field. You can delete it if you want. But that way, nothing gets missed.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's why I need to change my custom fields. Okay.
Strike up a conversation, and this is your section right here. Make sure. Don't hang up the phone until these 12 questions are answered or whatever you put in there.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, that's the part I was missing there.
Piece of cake. That way you just build it once.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Who else?
Hey, Mike, it's Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Good, you?
Good. Good. So,
you got a salesperson ready?
Got a salesperson ready? You started making calls last week.
No, I'm kidding. What day?
I don't know, Tuesday or so.
How's she doing so far?
She didn't have much luck during the week. She said she got a couple interested people on Saturday morning that she talked to. So, I briefly analyzed those. I don't know that they're going to work, but I got to do some more analysis. But she's making calls.
Nice.
And that's great.
That is.
I had a contract last week that I've been working on for a month.
Say that again. You broke up.
I had a...
Are you still there?
Did you not hear me? Here.
How's this?
That's way better.
I get to take you off Bluetooth, I guess.
Nice. Yeah, way better. Thanks.
If I crash, it's your fault. But
yeah, it is.
No, I was saying I got the first property under contract last week. I've been working on that guy for a month, but that's good. Had to buy. I sent it out last night.
Anybody else hear anything?
Yeah, I can hear
you, Tom.
No, I can't hear a thing. He's all breaking up. I just didn't know if I was off or somebody else.
Yeah, Tom, I can hear you, and I can still hear Ben.
Okay.
So, Ben, go ahead.
That's it.
Yeah, so I sent that out last week to my buyers. I had somebody look at it today. Hopefully they know tomorrow.
What are the numbers on it?
I got under contract for 21.
Okay.
Net to seller, basically. There's another $5,000 or so in unpaid taxes.
You know, I'm selling it for five.
31, sorry, adding 5.
Okay, so it's basically 26, and you've got it for sale at 31.
Right.
What is it rent for?
800.
800 a month. So what do the numbers look like on it? 800 times 0.7, 560. What? How much work does it need?
For rental purposes, about 9,500, I think, based on what he told us.
So about 10 grand?
That's about 13.
So we're at...
Why?
31,000 plus 10,000, obviously 41. So call it, what, 42.5 after some closing costs? Divided by 560, divided by 12, 6.3 return of cash. That seems pretty strong.
It's got room as a flip too. It's ARV is about 70. So
6720 divided by, yeah, holy smokes, that's a 15.8 cap at those numbers.
So
nice.
Hopefully that comes through there. I also got
So you sent out a blast. Let me ask you this. Have you made follow-up calls to your buyers to sell the deal by phone?
Not yet.
Okay. That's going to be the key piece.
One thing I need to do, though, is... And I sent I had a problem on FreedomSoft. I tried to buy a number to do some text blast, you know?
Okay.
Because some of the buyers I've got like it that way. But I got an invoice, didn't give me the number. I submitted a ticket for it last night, but it's
okay.
Not showing it.
Yeah, interesting. I'll maybe have to just have the tech guys go look and see what happens behind the scenes. We'll get to the bottom of it for you, though. I've got some other leads coming too. We've just had a permissions. The guys have been adjusting some permissions, so I'll email you when that's sorted.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, that's killer. And your sales gal found this, tied this contract up, or did you say that you were working on this one for a while?
I've been working on it a month. I made a few calls, not many. I had time. This is like the third guy I talked to.
Okay, so this is a vacant lead you called a month ago.
Yeah.
And then did the seller call you back, or did you follow up?
No, I've just been following up with him periodically.
Nice. How are you doing the follow-up? Shooting him a text or an email?
Text, email, and phone.
Oh,
I have a pretty good rapport with him, so he likes to talk to me.
Yeah. So you're saying follow-up works. I'm taking note of that. I've never heard that before.
It works.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, the first conversation I had with him, he said he was interested.
Love it.
And so taking a month because he had a family member die, and then.
So just timing was off. He was interested, but timing was off. Did you say he's a cop?
Yes, he is.
He's a cop, and you're an attorney, and you two get along? How's that possible?
He's a policeman and a and a real estate, former real estate investor.
I love it. So you guys have that in common.
Yeah.
Nobody liked my policeman attorney joke.
I didn't catch it all. You say?
I said, wait a minute. He's a police officer and you're an attorney? And you two get along? How's that possible?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either. I love it. You guys are bucking the trend. That's good.
I tried.
So what was the reason for selling? House is vacant?
Yeah, it's vacant. He's had renters in it.
Okay.
He's owned a number. He has owned and still owns a number of properties, but he's just kids are grown and he's wanting to get out of them. So.
Yeah. How many more does he want to sell?
He wouldn't tell me that quite yet. He wants to get this one done first.
And then that conversation's coming.
Yeah.
I love it. So Ben, you got to go all in. And I know, your brother has some time too. You guys have to go all in to find a buyer. And you've got to you've got to send out the text, right? We'll get that figured out in your account, and then assume the phone call to move it, and you're going to call up and tell the story. Here's the deal, right? It's a killer little place. Here are the numbers. Here's what it needs. You know, how do you like to run your numbers, Ben? Return of cash or just a percentage on your investment, right? And just run the numbers right there with them. Have them just peel them off, right? Say this thing will rent for about $800 a month. Based on the comps, let's take 30% off the top for your expenses. Net rents are $560 times 12. Here's your first month annual, your all-in number divided up. That's a 15.8% cap rate. You buy 15.8, right? You buy 15.8 caps. Is that in your wheelhouse?
You're talking about potential buyers that they haven't talked to you yet.
Yep, that's your conversation with the potential buyer.
Right.
You call and sell it. Sell the deal.
Right.
It seems like the sales side of the business is sales and the disposition side is not. They are equally sales, both sides. And that's why, you know, when we start talking about bringing sales personnel on and then eventually you're going to put somebody in the disposition seat, you want the exact same personality type over there.
Right.
Same.
Well, I got another potential salesperson that I think may be more suited for the cold calling sellers than the person I have now. So I'm going to try to work her in and then may transition the other one over.
Here's the thing. Yep. Working with sellers is more cold calling than working with your buyer's list. Your buyer's list is and will become people that you have a relationship with. So if you have two salespeople and they're both capable, and like Ben just said, one of them is a little more geared towards the cold calling and the other one's a little more relational. Put the cold caller on sales and the relational person on dispositions.
And so, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the disc test, high I, high E, either or, right?
Yeah, they can both sell.
Because the second person is off the charts I, but low D.
Yep.
The first one is kind of above average on both.
Yeah, D is the driver, so that can be a motivational piece. High I's can sell. The way it works is the D's and I's are extroverts. S's and C's by nature are more introverted. And so you get, right, that extrovert person. Like I'm on the SC side of the table, right? So I go into a group of people that I don't know, and I'll be over in the corner hanging out talking to the one person at the party that I do know. Whereas this really cracked me up. Rob is high D, and he came to our little guy's birthday party when he turned 3. It might have been his second. Anyway, Rob and his wife showed up, which was really cool. And we had family and friends over, and we're having a barbecue in a park. And Rob comes walking in, and he says hi. And then I look over, and he went over to a table. My parents were sitting there, my aunt and uncle. They were all eating. He walked up to the end of the table and just said, "Hey, guys, I'm Rob," and just starts talking to him. And I'm cracking up because there's nothing inside of me that would ever do that. That's the extrovert in Rob coming out, right? That's how he's wired. And those are your salespeople. He walked up to a table where he didn't know anybody and just introduced himself, shook everybody's hand, and just struck up a conversation. And I have never done that in my life up to this point and don't ever plan to do that. That's just how I am. So that's where the D's and I's will kick in on the sales side. That's just how they're wired.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's not me.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool.
Yep. Yeah, right, good stuff, man. This is super encouraging. You got to be fired up.
I am.
I mean, you got a salesperson on. I know you and your brother are busy. Here's the thing, especially with a seller that has more deals, and he basically said, "Let's see how this one goes, and then let's have another conversation." This is key. This is key. Get this sucker moved, and it's going to take a phone call.
Well, I had somebody look at it today, and they're going to let me know
Bless
tomorrow,
you.
Too, if
cool.
they want it. This is one of those buyers that buys 350 properties a year.
Oh, I love it. So you just assume that they want it. When you guys follow up tomorrow, you say, "Hey, that thing's killer, huh? Let's get the paperwork done." I mean, just assume they're taking it. But this is you can talk about this deal with a lot of confidence because those are killer numbers. Those are strong. First year return on your money, 15.8%, taking 30% off the top. That's a rental deal all day long.
Right.
I mean, people will buy 8 to 12, and you're just under 16. So that's awesome. We'll hopefully get an update from you on Thursday that paperwork's in place.
Yes, sir. I hope so. If I can call in, I'll tell you that, hopefully.
Yeah, beautiful. Hey, also, create some urgency, right? You know, you talk to this guy or gal tomorrow, this potential buyer, and say, hey, what'd you think? We're having a bunch more conversations on it. Or my brother's my business partner. He's been working the phone all day. You know, don't lie about it, but find a truthful fact that can create a sense of urgency. Like, this thing's not going to be around by 5 o'clock. So are you in? Let's get your earnest money over to title. Perfect. And then, do you have a title company already picked out?
Well, I have three potentials, but no, on this one, actually, if they're going to buy it, I do, because I know their preferred title company.
Okay.
So I wanted to kind of leave it up in the air on that one.
That works, because you're going to want – here's the way we did it. Contract, obviously we want that back, but we've got to have that earnest money, the title. And the way you word that, you say, hey, when we work with our buyers – they get title company. They get earnest money to title by 5 o'clock that same day as the paperwork. Does that work for you? That's how we normally do it. So make sure that they have skin in the game as soon as possible.
What do you do on earnest? Like, how much?
Yeah, a deal like this, $1,500. There's no right or wrong answer there.
Okay.
Was it in your contract?
Oh, with the seller?
With the seller. Do you have earnest money in?
Just $10, you know.
Okay. I was going to say, depending on what that is, we would typically double it. Like if you had 500, go 1,000 or 15. If you get a good sense from the buyer, whatever, just say, hey, I'm going to put $1,000 earnest money on our paperwork. That's what we're accustomed to doing. And then, you know, can you get it to the title this afternoon by 5, by end of business today? All right.
Sounds good.
But yeah, if you've got a good feel about it, you know, $1,000, $1,500, what, you know, like I said, there's no right or wrong here. But we like to go $1,000 to $1,500 because it's a big enough chunk that somebody's serious. They don't want to lose it regardless, right?
Okay.
If they back out. So, yep.
Thanks, Mike.
You got it. Yeah, good stuff happening. It's a big deal. Things pop when salespeople get on the phone. Now, I know this was from a lead that you had talked to, but the result is you were on the phone.
Right.
So whether it's you or somebody else, and you just said that you're not really wired for sales. And so you get, right, you match. It works. We just see it time and time again. You match up these great leads with a sales personality and then, you know, prepare for rain.
Sounds good.
That works. Yeah, good stuff, Ben. Great update.
Thanks, Mike.
We're looking for a signed contract on Thursday.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Done.
Yeah, I love it. Anybody else? We're coming up on 90, so which is fine. If you have questions, let's get them answered. I want to make sure everybody's clear on where they're going. Without clarity, there's no action. All right. Hey, guys, great updates. Keep your feet on the gas. If you've got, you know, those next steps in front of you, knock them out. You know, let's keep the momentum going. You can see what happens, right, when you get to step three and start generating leads and then get somebody on the phone consistently on those leads. That's, these are the conversations that we're going to be having. You know, what do we do about these? Of these transactions, how do we get them to the closing table, that kind of thing. It's exactly where we want to be. So great updates, everyone. Any further questions, obviously, get them into the coaching email. And have a great week, productive next couple days. We'll chat Thursday as always. And we'll talk soon, okay? Everybody have a good afternoon / evening, wherever you're at.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
Ciao.
Take care. Talk soon.